This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
This is Paul Gleiser, owner and general manager of KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, and this is a special edition of In Focus. For more than two decades, I and my stations have been honored to have a very special relationship with the University of Texas at Tyler and the University of Texas Health Science Center at Tyler. Longtime listeners to KTBB will probably recall the educational feature series that was called Health Connection that aired for more than 20 years. I was privileged to be the voice of and the producer of that series for most of its run. I knew three presidents at the UT Tyler Health Science Center during the long run of Health Connection, all of them extraordinary men, but none of them had a longer tenure than Dr. Kirk Calhoun. Dr. Calhoun came to Tyler in 2002 at the age of 49. In the ensuing 22 years, Dr. Calhoun has been both a witness to and a catalyst for a series of dramatic changes to the healthcare and higher education landscapes in East Texas. On many occasions over the years that I have known him, Dr. Calhoun expressed concern about the need for more physicians to take care of a growing population in East Texas. He expressed fear that East Texas could experience a critical physician shortage. Toward addressing that concern, Dr. Calhoun spearheaded an effort to launch a new medical school in Tyler. In 2020, after much hard work by Dr. Calhoun and after enormous contributions from members of the East Texas community, that effort paid off. The University of Texas Board of Regents authorized the founding of the UT Tyler School of Medicine. And thanks to the generosity of many people in East Texas, the first two classes of UT Tyler School of Medicine, young men and women who will one day be physicians, entered their training with their tuition fully paid. The hope is that a significant number of the graduates of the UT Tyler School of Medicine will stay in East Texas to practice medicine and attend to the health care of the area. A bit less than a year after the announcement of the medical school, UT Tyler and the UT Health Science Center at Tyler merged, and Dr. Calhoun was named president of the combined institution. For the first time in his academic career, Dr. Calhoun was charged with oversight of an undergraduate institution with an enrollment exceeding 10,000 students. He also faced the challenge of merging two institutions that had previously had separate priorities and separate academic cultures. Dr. Calhoun recently announced that he will be retiring on May 31st of this year after 22 years leading two University of Texas campuses in East Texas. I recently had the privilege of sitting down with Dr. Calhoun in his office, and we talked about his future and the future of UT Tyler.
You came to East Texas to take the reins of what was then the UT Health Science Center at Tyler out on 271 22 years ago.
Yeah. 2002.
How has the landscape changed since?
Well, the landscape has changed tremendously. You know, we were still being considered the old tuberculosis hospital. Mm-hmm. As you know, that's what it was known for so many years. And now it's all part of a huge health system, UT Health East Texas, that has afforded us the opportunity to dramatically increase the number of physician training programs, not only the new medical school, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but the graduate medical education training. We have 14 graduate medical education training programs. We're training surgeons. We're training internists. We're training family doctors. Soon we'll be training anesthesiologists and radiologists and all these highfalutin specialties in healthcare. That kind of exposure and training will be right here in town. We have a cardiology training program. We're training cardiologists here in Tyler, and top-notch cardiologists are being trained here. Gastroenterologists, oncologists, all of these things are big components of academic medicine, and we have a big academic medicine enterprise in Tyler here now, and that's what's changed the most.
There was a time in history when nobody had ever heard of, would even consider going to Rochester, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But the Mayo brothers established the Mayo Clinic, and it is now a world renowned. Do you ever see the day that East Texas, that Tyler could become a destination the way an institution like Mayo has become?
I can give you an example much closer that I have personal experience with, and that's UT Southwestern in Dallas. You know, UT Southwestern was created because Baylor fled Dallas and went down to Houston, Baylor Medical Center. And that community wanted to have that medical education void filled, and filled quickly. And so Southwestern was born in trailers behind the old Parkland Hospital.
Right.
That's all it was. And now you look at UT Southwestern, they have multiple Nobel Prize winners. They have a huge medical complex with a first-class hospital, a great affiliation with Parkland, the large public hospital system there, a great medical school. A few people made that happen. A handful of people years ago after World War II got together, worked hard, and made that happen. It does not happen overnight, but Tyler could see a very similar kind of rise over time with community support and with just innovative, forward-thinking leadership.
Well, on a little bit closer time horizon, now that the medical school here is operating and is building its building, as the medical school begins to graduate doctors, how will, in the short term, that change life here in East Texas for ordinary people going about their lives?
There was an analysis done of the economic impact of a medical school on a community. I've seen several of those kinds of analysis done. And medical schools just have a tremendous impact on how communities are perceived. And there was just a recent newspaper article saying that Tyler was one of the best cities in Texas. The medical school had a large part to do with that. It changes the perception of a community.
Mm-hmm.
We've hired over 100 MD faculty over the last couple of years.
Right.
Those people have come here. They've moved here. They're spending their money here. The biomedical research that's taking place here now is booming, doing extremely well, bringing in tens of millions of dollars into this community. For I think the average person, one is hopefully there'll be access to quality medical care. It'll be a little bit easier to see a doctor. But the economic impact will touch every single one of us. And we're seeing that in Tyler right now. There's a building boom going on in Tyler. I think, I was out this weekend. The restaurants are doing well. The medical school is contributing to all this. The construction cost of the medical school alone, as you know, is $308 million. We actually keep track, and we've spent about $100 million with businesses that are in and around Tyler in getting that building constructed. So that gives you a sense of the economic impact.
You found yourself, after a career in medicine and a career in academic medicine, you suddenly found yourself the president of an undergraduate university, which had not prior been in your wheelhouse. The two areas that really get very political and get very personal for a lot of people, the two economic areas, healthcare and cost of education, both are great concerns to people. How does it can't continue on the present trajectory? Costs can't continue to go up at this rate. How does that get under control, both academic and medicine?
If you think about it, healthcare and education are too expensive, as you've pointed out, as well as too highly regulated mm-hmm. and highly scrutinized industries. Everybody sort of, whether it's elementary or high school or higher education, everybody, feels that through property taxes, through tuition fees, and everyone feels the impact of the increased cost of healthcare. And I think there are many of us out there who are trying to figure out how to keep the cost under control in both those areas. The academic piece was new to me. The general academic piece was new to me. The academic medicine, I've been steeped in that for, you know, well, actually about 35 years, 32 years with the UT system. So I really understood that coming into this job. It's a little different thinking about recruiting and seeing to the benefit of 18-year-olds coming to you as freshmen when you're used to getting medical students well into their 20s.
Right.
And postgraduate.
And by definition, high-achieving students.
And very high-achieving students, students who tend to be independent.
Right.
Already. But it's been fun. It's been a blast. And what I enjoy most is the interaction with the young people.
Right.
They've helped keep me young, and they've helped keep me energized as we go forward.
Pre-COVID, post-COVID, post some recent scandals at the top most elite universities in the country, some in the news and not in a way they would have liked, in an environment where costs for college are rising at a multiple of the rate of inflation, related to our previous question, many people are beginning to question the value proposition of a four-year university degree. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Well, the data I've seen has demonstrated that for many of the areas that we offer educational opportunity, that the lifetime income is dramatically higher if you have a baccalaureate degree or higher, the vast majority. Not every single area. I think, you know, you think about education, you know, we have to figure out how we're going to pay our teachers more. I mean, you can't think of a more important role to play in society than be a teacher, and we don't compensate them, in my opinion, as well as we should. But you take another area like engineering. You take a poor individual, someone who grew up maybe in a single-parent household or without a lot of economic opportunity, and they get an engineering degree, and I see this all the time in students we get here, where, you know, they come here, they're on a scholarship, or they're getting financial aid or whatever. They get an engineering degree, they come out, they can get a job, boom, just like that. They're making 150 grand right off the bat. It is transformative in their lives. A young person coming from a poor community who can get an engineering degree, who can pursue a degree in nursing or medicine or pharmacy or any of these kinds of professions in business. Those are life-changing, transformative events, independent of, because I think this is important too, the intellectual skills you gain from obtaining a college degree. That's something that no one can ever take away from you. I mean, you wind up going to jail, you know, this or that or whatever. But what you know, what's in your head is with you forever. And what you've proved in graduating from college, taking on a really difficult task that takes years to complete, and you do it, emotionally, it's transformative. So I believe that higher education is not for everyone. But for those for whom it is right, it's a life-changing event that can impact you economically, but also impact you intellectually.
What do you say to the parents of the student that can legitimately aspire to an elite institution such as an Ivy League, a Northwestern, the brand name, big name universities that attract the very best of the best? What do you say to those parents as to why they should consider coming to University of Texas at Tyler?
Well, I consider UT Tyler certainly one of the top schools around. You know, the schools are ranked by Carnegie classification, generally. And from R4 to R1, R1 being the tops, UT Austin is an R1 university. UT Tyler was sort of a middle of pack R3 when the campuses were merged and brought together. We propelled ourselves to near the top of an R2 university. So we're not that far behind an R1. What's the difference? It's actually a couple of things. One is the amount of philanthropy you can generate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some work to do to have that kind of community support that some of those Ivy League schools have in terms mm-hmm. of philanthropy. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of their graduates are CEOs who can direct a lot of philanthropy their way. The other is the amount of research that you do. And that's one of the elements that go into it. The teaching and the learning are much less criteria. And so if you want a good education, obviously Ivy League schools can offer a really good education, but there are many colleges and universities, UT Tyler included, I would say all the UT schools, that offer a very high quality education, and our graduates do well in getting jobs, and they get high paying jobs.
Well, I'm voicing a commercial that's running right now for UT Tyler
mm-hmm.
that says that you want two things out of your college experience. You want the credential value of the name on the diploma,
yeah,
and you want the education.
Mm-hmm.
And that commercial goes on to posit that early on, when you first graduate, that logo at the top of the diploma means a lot, but soon enough, your body of work is going to be what defines you more than where you went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so the value proposition that at least I like to think about with respect to UT Tyler is that you get a quality education.
That's
what,
right.
What say you?
Oh, the education comes first here. You know, it's fun watching the NCAA Division I tournament on TV. I was watching A&M.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, I was watching A&M play the University of Houston, and that's Division I, and athletics are really big at those schools. You know, our women's softball team, we play NCAA Division II.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's more schools like us. It's UT Dallas, which is a very tough school
mm-hmm.
academically. We're a tough school academically. We're a top school academically. You know, we don't play Division I athletics and have no desire to. We'd rather invest in the educational experiences that we offer our students right here in Tyler. And that's good enough for us. And we have good athletes. They play well, but they've come here to be students. They've not come here to find a way to the NBA or the NFL.
Shifting gears just a little bit, if I were to ask you of your 22-year tenure, the accomplishment of which you are most proud, would I be safe in saying getting the medical school?
You know, a lot of people say that, and there are several things I'm proud of. You know, the creation of UT Health East Texas, having played a role in that. The medical school, Chairman Eltife and I were partners in making that happen, and I could not thank him enough and the support from the UT System Board of Regents in making that happen and getting through the Texas legislature the first time around. That was almost unheard of. No community gets a med school the first time they ask for it. We got that in Tyler this time around. And mental health. It's not talked about a whole lot. But when I got here, the Health Science Center was not involved in mental health at all. And now we're the largest mental health provider across the entire region. And it's growing mm-hmm. and growing significantly. And we don't, we still have a long ways to go to improve access to mental health services. But I'm very proud of where we are with that. But I'll conclude by saying probably what I'm most proud of are the over 22 years, a huge number of young people who whether it's through medical education or these last few years as president of UT Tyler, handing out those diplomas in all these different degree fields that we have here, these colleges we have here at UT Tyler, arts and sciences and engineering and nursing and business and health professions, the medical school, education. Interacting, mentoring, developing, encouraging, coaching these young people and then seeing them be successful, that's the real reward. I'll just say that a while back, I attended a meeting of major healthcare leaders around Texas. And these are physicians who are top administrators. They run big clinics or they're high positions in medical schools or they're running hospitals and so forth. And I walk through the room and the people who are doing that are people I trained as a young medical student 22 years ago.
Wow.
And you look around the room and they're all coming over and say, "Hey, Dr. Calhoun, how are you?" And, you know, this and that. And I say, "What are you doing?" And they say, "Well, I'm a, you know, vice president of Scott and White across the state here and directing their medical care and so forth." Gee whiz, I remember you when you were a young pup and did even, you know, couldn't even get your white coat on right.
So, yeah.
So that's what I'm most proud of.
What do you consider your unfinished business?
Well, there are a couple of things. I have, my career started off very briefly. I was in private practice, and before too long, I found myself with the University of Missouri and started doing academic medicine. But I sort of enjoyed that business aspect of trying to survive and run my own practice. And I remember borrowing $40,000 to start my physician practice. I thought that was all the money in the world because I had nothing.
Right.
And I had to pay, you know, a nurse and had to rent a little office space and all that. But I enjoyed that business aspects of things. And so now for so many years, I've been involved in the public sector, mainly through the University of Texas. And yes, I've figured out budgets and I've had to, you know, we employ a lot of people and all those things. But I still sort of have an interest in the private sector, mm-hmm. private business. So I would like to explore some opportunities there while I still can. And I would like to identify ways where I could be involved in helping fund charities that are noteworthy. So whether it's being with a foundation or something like that, where we identify good causes and we can go out and support those good causes and encourage them and encourage people to help other people. I think I would really enjoy that a lot too.
Two more questions. two more questions. The first one is, what will be the biggest challenge that your successor faces walking in the door?
I would say it is in both healthcare and in higher education, managing the cost. It's a challenge. And as you pointed out earlier, I think our public is going to demand that we do a better job of managing costs, but at the same time, maintain our quality. No one wants second-class health care. No one wants their child to get a second-class education, particularly higher education. And so how do you balance that quality with cost control will be the most important thing that the next president's going to have to deal with. There's something else, too, that is on the horizon that I still don't know what the answer is. And maybe at my age, I'm not the one to help guide this. But this artificial intelligence, this AI stuff, is going to revolutionize things.
It's certainly doing that in my business.
It's doing it in every business. And so when it sort of first came along, I think those of us in academics, we were all in a huff and all concerned about, are students going to use AI to cheat? Are they going to use AI to write their papers for
college
them?
Professor's husband, answer, yes.
Yes. Okay. Right. Right. But you know what? When I graduate an English major and they go to work in media or something like that, their new employer are going to ask them, what do you know about AI that can apply to our business?
Right.
We need to be not worried about how they're going to teach. We need to be teaching them how to take advantage of this stuff, how to utilize it properly, how to make it a marketable skill for them. And it's not just in science. It's not just in engineering. It's not just in medicine. This is touching, as you just pointed out, even in broadcasting.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. So we have to now teach it everywhere across this university. And how we go about doing that, my success is going to need to figure that out.
Last question. After your last day here, what's your plan for the next morning?
Sleep late. you know, sit down and be able to and enjoy breakfast with Jeanette without having to run to the office. Just to have some time to absorb it all. And to plot out the next few steps. Deciding to retire, it's sort of easy to decide to do it, but once you do it, you know, all the second thoughts and fears start to enter your mind. And someone was talking on TV, and they weren't talking about retirement, but they were talking about that really good people embrace their fears and their anxieties. So, of course, I'm wondering, you know, what am I going to do and how I'm going to do it? Am I going to get to fulfill those aspirations? Will I be able to afford to live comfortably well until the time the good Lord takes me? You know, you think about all those things, but you actually need to embrace those things and go ahead and go through this transition to retirement and figure out how you're going to accomplish all the good things you want to do from here on.
Question you may not want to answer. You're going to stick around East Texas?
Yeah, we're going to be involved in East Texas. Now, people forget that I did come from UT Southwestern here.
Right.
We have ties in Dallas. I have family in Dallas. My daughter is in Denver. Mm-hmm. It's a little easier for her to run for a weekend in Dallas than it is to get here to Tyler and then turn around. She's a physician, so she's busy. So when she gets a weekend off, I mean, it's just a weekend. She has to turn around quickly. So we're going to be back and forth. We're going to maintain a residence here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also spend a fair amount of time there with our new granddaughter and our family there in Dallas.
Doctor, congratulations
thank
on
you.
An incredible run, and all the best to you and Jeanette.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's I'm giving up the title of the currently longest serving president within the UT system by years. To someone else, but it really has been a fabulous run. The average university president's tenure is about 7 years, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Presidents don't last that long, as you've seen recently.
Mm-hmm.
For someone to have a 22-year tenure with the same university is almost unheard of. And I really, again, I appreciate Chairman Eltife, the Board of Regents of the UT system, multiple boards of regents over the last 22 years have been good to me and Jeanette. And Tyler has been extremely good to us. And we'll try to continue to give back to Tyler.
All the best.
Thank you.
This has been a special edition of In Focus, and we thank Dr. Kirk Calhoun for his time. I'm Paul Gleiser. Thank you for listening.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.